Hello and welcome to Car Talk. You have to ruin everything, don't you? Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Boris Karloff division at Car Talk Plaza. Did Boris Karloff talk like that?
What a guy he was. Why are we here anyway?
Well, it's almost Halloween again. Right?
Of course.
And I always look forward to Halloween around here.
What?
You know why?
No.
You don't know why.
I said why, didn't I?
Why?
Why? I don't know why. Halloween
because
is
you're the only person I know who looks less scary when wearing a mask.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah. You ever wonder why kids don't come to your house and trick-or-treat ever since you started handing out the candy?
I answer the door, they run away. That's too bad. Hey, I have here a bunch of little snippets, I guess we'll call them. A lot of mail here, a lot of little items that we haven't discussed for a long time. I got a note from William C. Mertz from Meshopin, Pennsylvania. It says, "Dear Click and Clack, this is the last time you will hear from me." I'm going to read that every week just to make him crazy. And here's a note from who? Ansel Wolf. "Some time back, one of you said that memories are the only paradise from which man cannot be driven. I was struck by the beauty and profundity of that phrase and immediately assumed that neither of you had thought it up."
Well, it's true.
"Thank you, Ansel. My question is, one, do you know the source of that quote? And B, will you tell me?" I ask part B because you're from Cambridge, and once I was in Cambridge and asked someone if he knew where a certain street was, and he said yes and walked away. Well, yes, of course I know the source of that.
You do?
Yes.
What is it?
Goethe. Yes.
Really?
"Memories are the only paradise from which man cannot be driven."
I think I vaguely recall that.
Yeah.
Was that from Goethe 1 or Goethe 2? Which Goethe course did you take?
It was H104.
There you go. Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Paul Jacobowski, calling from Mountaintop, Pennsylvania.
Mountaintop, Pennsylvania.
Yes, sir.
Mountaintop. That sounds like a nice, breezy place.
Well, it's by the Poconos.
Ah, cool.
Well, so anyway, what's the nature of your call?
Okay, why I'm calling is I have an 88 Mazda 323 sedan. Mm-hmm. Smokes like a chimney.
Oh.
And I really don't want to put any more money into this car,
yeah,
but I'm just wondering how long this is going to last me keeping oil in it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I make a nice cocktail for it periodically. I get a can of one of those, it just looks just about like jelly that they sell that's,
yeah,
supposed to stop it from smoking, and I mix it with a quart of 30.
Motor Medic!
It's the cocktail I give the car every couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So every week you try something different. Yeah, and sooner or later, you'll give up.
Exactly.
Yeah, save your money because you needed to buy oil.
I was at a fast food restaurant one day last week, and I placed my order, pulled up to the window, paid, was waiting for my food. The car behind me actually backed up. I think I was filling his car with smoke.
Oh, yeah, you're a menace to society. I mean, what you need, unfortunately, is a ring job.
Yeah.
But you don't want to do that.
I don't think so, no.
Even if you needed a valve job, you wouldn't do it, would you?
Well, what I want to do, I want to get it till spring. Then I'll put it to rest.
Well, how willing are you to experiment?
What else could I put in there, crackers?
No, you can put in the mixture of half motor oil, half kerosene.
Half motor oil, half kerosine.
Don't do it.
Come on, Paul.
It didn't work for me, but
like
it doesn't mean it won't
work. Old wives' tales and rumors.
There's some grain of truth,
and this must have worked for somebody, and that somebody could be you, Paul.
It could be.
I mean, could it possibly smoke any more than it's smoking?
Well, the truth is that I know now that the reason it didn't work in my truck is that I had broken rings.
Right, which broke because of the kerosene.
Now, that's the deal, too. I live in Mountaintop. I got to climb a three-mile hill every day, and that car roars over. I take it out of overdrive. I can go over that 65 miles an hour, so it has a lot of power.
Yeah, you've got plenty of compression. Your compression rings are okay. I suspect the oil control rings are stuck. And I think I'd try the kerosene and motor oil.
I have to say,
so that's a new cocktail I could use this week.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, you can't run it very long. Mm-hmm. You can't run it very long with this in there. You've got to run it for a short while, maybe a half an hour or an hour.
And then drain it.
And hope that you still have some engine bearings left. Come on, Paul, be a sport.
It's okay because you really have nothing to lose.
Right.
I mean, I would love to hear from someone who would hear this story
and write to us and say... Wait.
Another?
Yes.
The bananas.
No, the pellets.
The pellets.
Do you have the J.C. Whitney catalog?
No.
Get the J.C. Whitney catalog. Wait, the pellets didn't work either.
Yeah, they worked for a few days at a time. What you do is you take out the spark plugs, and you put one pellet in each cylinder.
Yeah.
And you put the plugs back in, and you start the thing up, and the pellet goes, bang, bang, boom, bang, boom, boom, and disintegrates and coats the cylinder walls with metal, pelletized metal. And therefore makes the pistons fit more tightly in the cylinders because you've added thickness to the cylinder walls.
Of course. Wow.
Yeah.
The pellets. What are these pellets made of?
St. John's wort.
They're the cure for everything now, you know.
Oh, my.
They cure everything.
Good luck, man.
Good luck, Paul.
Thank you very much.
Keep us posted.
Have a nice day.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Bernie and Raleigh, two of us on the phone from Medina, Ohio in WKSU territory.
Which one are you, Bernie or Raleigh?
I'm Bernie.
I'm Raleigh. But
hi, guys.
I'm too embarrassed to talk, so she's going to talk.
Is it Riley or Raleigh?
Raleigh.
Like Roland.
Yeah, that's
like
what
it's Raleigh
short
Fingers.
For. That's what it's short for. You got it, Raleigh Fingers.
Raleigh Fingers.
Remember Raleigh Fingers?
I always thought that was a great name for a football player.
Actually, I always admired his mustache. Raleigh Fingers had the best handlebar.
I got one.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, with the name, I guess you'd have to.
I do.
Comes with the name. Anyway, what's up, guys?
Well, I want to tell this story because we moved out here about 6 months ago into the country, and we decided to go. We have three cars, over 100,000 miles each, and we decided we needed to go out and get a car, so we went down to the local dealership about 3 miles away, and we go in, and we ask if we could take the car for a ride. He says yes, puts on the license plate, says, you know, I have someone else. I've got to go. He goes back into the dealership.
And you stole the car.
Raleigh's driving, and he backs into the light pole.
Okay, so you smash up this poor guy's car. What kind of a car was it?
Well, it wasn't smashed up. It was just a little...
Yeah, a minor inconvenience.
That's your side of the story.
No, really.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, though, so nobody sees this, right? We go back in, we wait 20 minutes on the way in, say, are we going to talk about this? Well, of course we're going to tell him. We're honest folks. We wait for 20 minutes for this guy finally to come back to us and say, you know, we had this little accident in your car.
Uh-huh.
So we go through all of this. He runs out and looks. It's a small dent in the car. We go back, and we're talking about the price of a new car. And we said, we really need to think about it. This was the first day, but we were real interested in the car. And then they told us that we had to pay the damage because first they said they had no insurance. Then they told us it was a $500 deductible. So we said, well, you send us the policy and that says that the customer is responsible. Send us a copy of your insurance policy since you're expecting us to pay.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there.
And all this was done on good terms.
Yeah.
Is that right?
We were customers. We wanted a car. We have since bought a car, the same car somewhere else.
Somewhere else.
Yeah, so tell us more. What happened?
Well, so then we go, and 2 days later, they started calling Raleigh. First, there was a call at home. They left a message. Then they called him at work twice and got real. Raleigh's a very gentle person, and
I can tell that.
People in his office, he got so upset he was yelling on the phone.
Insurance companies do that to you, don't they?
Well, this is the dealership that was calling, right?
No, this was just the car dealer.
Right. Oh.
This is still the car dealer.
Now, they obviously had done the estimate because they repair them right there. So they gave
the estimate is about $350.
Okay, $350.
And so now they've sent us from the comptroller after Raleigh calmed them down and said, look, we were customers. We came in. This happened. We didn't, you know, we told you we did this, whatever. So now the comptroller has written a letter, which we received last Monday, saying now they have insurance that has a $1,000 deductible. That's gone up, and they want to know how we're going to do this.
I hate to cut you short.
That's good.
I would tell them to drop dead. And I'll tell you, what if you were taking the car out and you had driven into a tree with it and totaled the car?
Yeah.
Right? They would have said, You all right?
No, they would have said you owe us $500 deductible.
No, and you would have... No, you made no such agreement in advance.
Right,
did you sign anything when you got in the car?
No.
Did you agree to pay anything?
No.
You're off the hook.
You're absolutely off the hook.
As your free legal advisor...
Right.
I'm advising you to tell him to drop dead. And moreover, tell him you already bought the car from somebody else and you'll no longer do business with them.
All right.
I agree with my brother. It's the first time in a month that I've agreed with him. Tell him to drop dead.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thank you, Bernie. Thank you, Raleigh.
See you later.
Guys are great.
See you later.
They'll be in jail in 2 days.
Talk about stupid, though. I mean, the guys, they know they're not going to get the money anyway, and they think it's worth a lousy $300. Don't forget, half of that is the profit they're going to make on doing the work themselves.
No. Well, that's acceptable. I mean, but if you had agreed in advance to pay the damage, I could understand that.
Of course not. That's a cost of doing business. Of course it's going to happen once in a while that someone bangs up your car.
Yeah, I mean, think how many times Fred Glass has driven into my door at the garage. But every time he comes in, I do a $50 brake job on his car, he backs out and does $300 worth of damage to the door.
Yeah, but at least now you have a monument there.
I sent him to Midas now. Fred, if you need brake work, go to Midas.
Here's $50. Go to Midas.
I did. I bought him 3 gift certificates. 1-888 Car Talk. That's 1-888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, it's Chella from Phoenix.
Who?
Chella.
Chella.
Yeah, like Chella. Everybody always thinks it's Italian, but it's Spanish.
Chella.
Chella. And where are you from again?
Phoenix.
Chella Luna made some
money. Oh, my God. I'm so excited to talk to you guys. I listen to you.
Yeah, me too. I've never spoken to someone named Chella before.
Now you have.
I'm excited.
So what's going on, Chella?
Well, I have a problem that's about 6 months old, and I'm just cheap, so I don't want to get it fixed. About 6 months ago, I was driving my 93 Saturn down the road, and the master cylinder went out. And I called my husband and said, you know, should I try to drive this to get it fixed or should I call a tow truck? And he said, well, you know, whatever you want. So I drove it.
Wait a minute. Let me check and see if the life insurance policy is paid up.
It wasn't smart. It wasn't a smart thing to do. I understand that. I drove it to the dealership to try to get it fixed. And
You drove it to the dealership with zero brakes?
Sorry, no, the master cylinder of my clutch went out.
Master cylinder.
I can't explain these things.
That's better.
But,
so how did you do it? How did you get there?
Well, I'm cramming the thing into third gear, and I destroyed my third gear, basically.
Great. That's good.
Yeah. Well, so I've been driving the car for 6 months with no third gear. And my husband is not happy about this. He says it's going to ruin the whole car. Now, what I just shift, you know, from first to second to fourth.
Yeah.
Is that a bad thing?
Well, the only bad thing is the reason you no longer have third is you probably sheared off the synchronizers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're floating around in there. And they're inevitably going to chew up the rest of the transmission.
Oh, I was afraid you were going to say that.
Yeah. Well, how many...
I mean, you don't have to get it fixed, really. You can just take the pieces out. No, really, that's really what you want to do. Your husband is wrong. Not using third gear ain't going to do anything to the car.
No.
I mean, come on.
Whatever it does will pale in comparison to what you've already done.
Yeah, and what you're doing, you know, if you stay in second just a little bit longer than you normally would have,
which I'm sure
you do, because you sound like you got the situation well under control, and then you zonk it into fourth, it's perfectly fine. There's no reason in the world that you ever needed third in the first place.
Okay.
You might wonder, why did they even put it there?
If you really are serious about driving it without third gear, I would take it to a shop and have them flush out the transmission.
Flush out transmission.
Drain it out and then flush it out and try to get as many pieces out as they can.
Yeah, and they'll stick a little magnet in there and they'll try to get out whatever they can.
Some of the pieces are brass and they're not going to be attracted to the magnet.
Brass is... Really?
You never
told me that. Really? Oh, that's why you always used to use that stick with the chewing gum on it?
Oh, my God.
You told me it was a brass magnet. You lied to me.
Sorry, Tommy. By the way, if it ever happens to you again or anyone else, there is a better way to drive the car so that you don't wreck the transmission.
How's that?
Well, you would start. I would put the thing in second gear with the engine off, and start the car, and with the thing in gear, obviously, and it will start to move. and before you get much beyond, say, 20 miles an hour, I would then shift it into third. You can do that if you apply some small amount of pressure to the shifter and try to ease it into the synchros.
And play around with the accelerator pedal so you're matching the right the speed of one side of the transmission with the speed of the other.
And then once you get into third gear, for example, I would leave it there and don't try to shift anymore. And then if you come to a stop, you would turn the key off.
No kidding.
If you practice it and you're not nervous, you can actually upshift and even downshift the car, except the shifts are all made at much lower speeds than you would ordinarily make them.
Okay. Yeah,
if you really want to learn how to do this, rent a car for the weekend.
I learned on my brother's car.
My brother learns on all the customers' cars. I always wanted to try this. And you can get quite...
Well, that's how I know so much about your Saturn.
I shouldn't admit this, but you can get quite good at it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, good luck.
Thanks a lot.
C'è la luna mezzo mare.
I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Look, before we go on, do you remember last week's puzzler?
I have no idea.
Well, that's okay, because I want to try out a new technique to help you remember. We're going to try some visualization.
Ah, that's clever. I'm ready.
Okay, close your eyes.
They're closed.
Now, I want you to visualize the inside of your own head.
I'm getting a little scared. Can I open my eyes?
No. Now, look around and tell me what you see. You're visualizing the inside of your own head. What do you see?
I see dust, rocks, tumbleweed.
And that's your hint about last week's puzzler.
Rocks, dust, and tumbleweed?
And road signs. And I'll refresh your memory completely when we come back in just a minute.
I still have no idea. Well, I saw my baby just the other day in a big green car on the wide highway. I saw my baby with another than mine. I got a big man with really quite a pain. I saw my baby, but what can I do? Just a walking on. And even though butchers everywhere cast sideways glances at their meat cleavers whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Which was?
Which was about road signs in East Bejesus, Texas. Hence the tumbleweeds, the dust, the rocks.
Got it.
And this was sent in by a fellow named, I think, Bob Derrick, and here's what he wrote. I didn't have to obfuscate or unclarify too much, but I added a little piece here and there, and I think I mentioned that there were hints here.
Lots I don't remember it at all.
Repeat. Anyway, he says, I was driving down south through Texas on the way to visit relatives who had recently moved to Austin. I hadn't been to Texas since I was in the Air Force, hint, hint, in basic training at Lackland Field. Anyway, it was just as I remembered it, long, dusty, and mostly empty Texas roads. And I hadn't been paying much attention to the road signs off to the side of the main highway we were on. They were mostly route numbers and whatnot. But then one sign off to the left caught my eye. It was Gulf Road. So I mused to my wife and kids, hey, maybe they're going to open a golf course out here in the middle of nowhere in this godforsaken wasteland. Anyway, later we passed another road sign. As soon as we passed it, I said to the family, I know what the name of the next road will be. My wife was skeptical. How could two completely unrelated signs, Gulf Road and now this second one, predict the third road that we were going to encounter?
Yeah.
Sure enough, we encounter that road a few minutes later, and it's exactly as I'd predicted.
Gulf Road.
The question was, what were the names of the next two streets after Gulf Road? And I gave a hint, even at this point, that there were two possible answers to this problem. Are you with me?
Yeah. I got an answer. There are three possible answers. Because I know that the answer I got ain't one that you got. The name of the second street was Gulf Street.
Oh, and Gulf Avenue.
And the third
Avenue.
One was Gulf Avenue.
Yeah, that's bogus.
Oh, that was the only thing I could come up with.
Well, Don't forget, this guy, at the very beginning, I said that this guy had been in the Air Force, basic training. He's in a part of the world where there are lots of Air Force bases, and there's something called the aviation alphabet, which is used to replace letters with words. And the beginning of the aviation alphabet goes Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, Echo, Foxtrot, Golf,
No,
Hotel, India. So either he saw, going up, he saw Hotel Road next and knew that India
was next,
was going to be the third, or he saw Foxtrot and he knew that Echo was going to be the next.
Wow. That's not bad.
Not completely bogus.
That's not half bad. That's quite good.
So anyway,
wow.
Who's our winner this week?
The winner is Sean Duffy from Flagstaff, Arizona, and for having his answer selected at random from all the answers that we got, Sean is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. Lucky you. With that gift certificate, he can get a copy of our CD/drink coaster, Car Talk Cartoons, America's Best Disrespectful Car Songs. Wow.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new, brand new puzzler from the wonderful world of mathematics coming up in the third half of the show.
Boy, oh boy.
So stick around. And right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, you can give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255555. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jenny calling from Durham, North Carolina.
How are you, Jenny?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, not bad.
Not bad.
Well, I'm calling because I'm hoping that you can maybe help with a dispute between me and my fiancé.
Fiancé?
Yes.
Whoa! How long have you been affianced?
I've been affianced about 3 months, and I plan to be affianced for about another year before I'm actually married.
Yeah. What is an appropriate time?
What is an appropriate time?
How long have you been going out with him?
About almost 2 years.
2 plus 3, another one will be 3 and a little bit.
Yeah, but I've known him for much longer than that.
See that? Now, I've been taking heat from my wife for all the years we've been married because I knew her and didn't marry her until 4 years later.
Ooh.
She thinks that 4 years is an unconscionable number. She thinks I was dragging my feet.
Well,
that I was.
To be honest, I mean, my brother is quite a bit older than his wife, and she wanted to marry him while he still had a few earning years left. Come on.
And I told
you want to marry the guy when he's just about to get his Social Security checks?
Plus, I had to wait until she turned 18.
That too.
She never mentions that.
No. Well, her parents would have signed for it.
All right, Jenny, I'm sorry to change the subject here, but I got...
Not at all.
I get carried away. Yeah, what's the story with you and him?
Okay, well, the story is that when my car is very low on gas, like when it's way down in the red, and I go to start the car, when I turn the key, it doesn't immediately turn over. It kind of goes, you know, vroom, 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 before it actually starts. But when the gas tank is full, when I turn the key, it engages immediately.
Uh-huh.
And I just happened to, you know, mention this to my fiancé, and he said, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. There's no connection between the amount of gas in the tank and the starter. That's electrical. That has nothing to do with the fuel. And I said, you know, I have no actual facts to back this up.
You just have observation.
Exactly. Anecdotal information.
Anecdotal information.
What kind of Japanese car do you have?
Honda Civic.
You all right?
Just
have a gulp of water, will you? Drink some water. You'll be all right.
This is serious.
So you have a Honda Civic, and you've noticed that it takes long. You have to crank it longer when the tank is closer to empty.
Exactly.
Yeah. What does he do for a living?
He's in finance, I can tell.
Well, nope, you'll actually like this because he's a graduate student who studies something even more obscure than art history, even less marketable.
Oh, archaeology.
No.
What?
Bryology. He studies moss.
It's called bryology?
Bryology.
B-R-Y?
B-R-Y, exactly.
Study of moths?
Moss. Bryophytes. Moss.
Moss.
That's what he studied.
No,
moss.
Moss. M-O-S-S.
Oh, yes. I thought it was moss.
Yeah, it's like
moss.
That stuff that's growing in your car.
In my car.
Exactly.
Bryology.
Bryology.
And what... Never mind. I mean, what...
No, I was just curious. I mean, what are the what are, you know, future opportunities in this field?
I'm curious about that, on myself.
Yeah.
Do you have a good job?
I do. I'm a nurse.
Oh, that's good. So you'll be able to eat at least.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'll have control over our future car buying.
So this budding bryologist.
Yes.
Graduate.
Actually, it's good because people just confuse you with being a biologist.
Yeah.
I'm into biology, yeah. If you say it fast enough, you can fake them
marine
up.
Yeah. Marine biology.
Marine biology.
Oh, man.
Well, the answer is that you were right.
Excellent.
Well, you could be right.
You could be right.
It could be completely bogus. But we could make a case that you're right.
No, I mean, bear in mind that the and this is most noticeable, I'm sure, when the car has sat overnight.
Yes, definitely. First thing in the morning.
Yeah, because what happens is the rest pressure in the system, the maintained pressure in the fuel line between the pump and the engine, will eventually drop to zero because it just there's a check valve in there, but it can't hold the pressure indefinitely. And over a long period of time, like overnight, the pressure in the line will drop to zero, and the pump must now pump the pressure up to get it to the injectors so they can squirt fuel into the engine.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you can visualize the thing, right? You got a big, long pipe, and during the day, after you've been starting the car on and off and on and off, when you turn the key to start it, that whole pipe is full and pressurized and ready to fly.
Right.
So the second you turn that key, boom, it starts. But if you emptied out the pipe a little bit, then every time you turn the key, you'd have to first fill up the pipe and then go through the bing.
And a full tank would help fill up the pipe faster because you'd be using what's called the head pressure of the full gas tank to push the fuel down the line by means of gravity, in addition to
what the pump
is doing.
So you could well be right in your observation.
I think I am.
Well,
I
think
you
are, too.
I think you are, too. And even if you're not right, We just made a very powerful argument for you being right, and that's all that matters. The question now is, do you tell him, and how do you tell him?
Oh, I know exactly. I'm definitely telling him.
Then I'm not going to ask.
And we'll leave that to you.
We actually have a little wager riding on
Oh,
this.
Do we?
We do. So right now I think he owes me a dinner at the Cattleman Steakhouse. So
how are you going to break it to him? I mean, give us the specifics, if you don't mind.
Well, let's see. I think I'm probably going to call him. He'll answer the phone, and I'll say,
Jenny, you have a mean streak. You have a mean streak.
You can tell, hey, biology this, pal.
Well, we wish you all the best.
Good
Thank
luck,
you
Jenny.
Very much.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bryology. I like yours, marine biology. That sort of confuses it just
it
enough.
It clouds it just enough.
Just
so that
enough.
Nobody really asks.
Yeah.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's
like George Costanza. Hey, he was a marine biologist.
888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is David calling from Roswell, Georgia.
David. What's up, David?
Well, I have a judgment call that I need help with, and there's sort of a mechanical thing in the middle of it. But what I want you to do is tell me that what I want to do is what I should do, because it may not be so. Actually, if I'm going to make a terrible mistake, tell me that, too.
No matter what it is, it's going to cost you $200 if that's what it is.
Okay. Well, I have two cars. And I really only need one. Both of them are fairly old, and I need reliable transportation. The car that I've had the longest is an 83 Subaru wagon. It's kind of like an old, ugly dog that's been very loyal.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
mileage? How many miles on it?
105,000, roughly.
Okay.
So
Second
lower
car?
Mileage than you would think for a car of that age.
Yeah.
And then I also have more recently gotten a 69 Camaro. That has about 92,000 miles on it. And I've been sort of deciding, well, I really ought to sell one and put the money into the other.
Of course.
And, of course, I want to keep the Camaro, even though it's more than twice as old.
Because it's a what? Babe magnet.
That's exactly
the Subaru
right.
is hardly a babe magnet.
It's a head-turner. Yeah.
You might say it's an anti-magnet.
That's right.
And you think that from one of these two vehicles you're going to get reliable transportation?
Well, here's the clinker that's just sort of tipping the scales.
Yeah.
Recently, the Subaru has developed this funny problem. I'll be driving along, and I'll get a cloud of white smoke that goes on for about 3 seconds, pretty dense, and then nothing. Then it'll stop. It's like a cheapo version of a James Bond trick. The guy behind me gets slimed,
yeah,
and then it goes away, and it doesn't may not occur for another couple days. Yeah. Doesn't seem to be related to hard acceleration or to stopping or anything like that.
All right.
It looks like it might be oil smoke, although not necessarily. But it's just it's so brief is the weird part.
Yeah.
Intermittent.
Well, the answer to this problem have any bearing on whether or not you keep the Subaru?
Well, one, you know, you always do what you want to do unless there's overwhelming evidence not to do that.
Or unless your wife tells you that you can't.
That's right. She doesn't like driving the Camaro, so that does factor in.
Oh, so the fact that you're married puts the babe magnet factor out of the...
Not necessarily.
No. Well, that's why I knew I had to call you, because you would appreciate all the dimensions of this problem, mechanical as well as
philosophical, moral.
Well, I'll let my brother deal with the philosophical, moral, ethical, and all the other
and
I will
the
handle
technical.
The mechanical.
Mechanical. Okay.
Mechanical.
Yeah, it's obvious.
Yeah, I mean, both of these cars are hopeless sleds.
Okay. So get rid of them both and get a bicycle.
The 69 Camaro may have a leg up on the Subaru because the Subaru has an incipient head gasket or cracked head problem.
Wow. Yeah.
I suspect the white smoke is from some small amount of coolant getting into one of the combustion chambers, either from a small crack in one of the cylinder heads or a breach in the in one of the head gaskets.
Right. And I would certainly,
and hence the white smoke.
So it isn't oil, it's coolant.
I believe so.
Probably is, and you can check it by looking in the radiator and see if there's anything in there.
Eventually the problem will go away because you'll simply run out of coolant.
Right.
And then that problem will
cease. And then all your problems will be solved because you'll seize the engine, and that'll be the end of this big decision that you're trying to make.
That's right.
Right.
Is there any hope that with some reasonable maintenance, it could be reliable transportation?
The Camaro?
Jeez.
The Camaro.
Was it ever?
Well, actually, these are the days. If you go back to 1969, these are the days when General Motors actually made some pretty good cars.
Oh, surely you jest.
No, I do not jest.
Surely you jest.
How easily one forgets. Don't you remember my 67 Pontiac, which I gave away with 250,000 miles on the odometer?
How quickly I forget.
Don't.
What engine does this Camaro have, by the way?
It's the 327 with a deuce.
Oh.
The little block.
That's a nice engine.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Now he changes his
tone. Oh, no. It's coming back to me now. That's a nice engine.
The only thing to be said against the Camaro is it's not particularly safe. Obviously, a newer car would get you things like an airbag and anti-lock brakes and et cetera, and better handling, give you some of the things that modern cars give you, which you'll never get from this car.
And which you may not want. I think the real issue is your wife.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I gather that this is a single car which would be shared by the two of you?
No, actually, we have another car that she can drive.
Right.
These
two jalopies are yours. She wouldn't be caught dead in either one of them.
Oh, and then there's no issue.
Well, she drives the Subaru just fine, and we'll drive the Camaro in. I mean, she's great. She will always tell me her opinion, but she's stayed with me regardless of whether I decided her way or not. It's, you know, that I have no complaints about.
That's wonderful.
I'm only looking to trade in the car, not
to have found a woman who is so understanding. That's what it's all about, right?
Yes, my brother can expand on his selection process in this regard if you'd like.
I too, I have to say, have a wife who is as wonderful as yours sounds like she is.
I would keep the Camaro if that's the one that your heart is with. Keep it, but
I
bear
too.
In mind it's not really safe,
I
and it is polluting
the
atmosphere because it was designed to run in the days when we didn't care about what the air was like.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is keep it, but drive it as though it were an 83 Subaru wagon.
There you go.
With a head gasket problem.
There you go. Little as possible.
As little as possible. You got it.
Thanks so much.
Good luck, David.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Tommy, according to our latest contract, it's time for us to take another little break.
Hey, that's good. That's a nice little benefit you negotiated for us. Another break. I like it.
It's not a benefit for us. It was demanded by the listeners. We'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute, so stay tuned.
What my baby told me was the natural facts. What my baby told me was the natural facts.
lights off. Oh, we driving on the highway and cut the bright lights off. We gonna turn the radio on and get music from up the north.
And even though NPR's ombudsman double-checks the deadbolt on his office door whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back.
Hey, don't wake me up like that. Come on.
You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler, which I said was from the...
Mathematical
the
in nature.
Wonderful world of mathematics. And it's from a fellow whose name is Jerry Olson. And I'm going to have to... paraphrase a lot, maybe, but I'll
make up stuff. You mean
lie,
cheat, and obfuscate
and steal? Okay, there you go.
Yeah,
Ed and his two sons, Biff and Skip, have been hired to paint the floor of a carousel, you know, a merry-go-round.
Yeah,
that's like 50 miles away. It happens to be the largest one in the state.
You mean a jostra?
Jostra,
yeah,
oh, yes. Anyway, they've been hired to paint it with this very expensive epoxy paint, so they want to make sure that they measure the floor area exactly on the money.
Because they don't want to buy any extra stuff.
The paint's like $100 a gallon, and you don't want to buy an ounce more than you have to.
Yeah.
And you can't return it.
Gotcha.
But there's a catch. The carousel, of course, is a circle, right, with all the,
yeah,
all the horses.
They're all around.
But in the middle of the carousel, there's a smaller circle, which is, in fact, a hole. Which,
yeah,
contains all the machinery, the mechanicals, you know, the,
yeah,
motor, the gears, and all that stuff.
It is an annulus, in other words.
It is a ring, exactly,
yes,
right.
Okay.
So anyway, Ed, who's the owner of the company, tells Biff, his number one son, we need to know the area of the carousel, the area that's to be painted, the big outer circle where the horses are, and the area of the inner circle where there's nothing but the machinery. Once we have the areas of both circles, we can subtract the inner circle from the other circle, and we'll know how much paint we need, right?
Yeah.
So if the outside thing is 4,000 square feet and the inner one is 1,000 square feet, we need 3,000 square feet worth of paint.
Yeah.
So Biff goes and gets to the carousel and says, I can't do this because all the machinery's in the middle.
How do I know where the center is?
I can't even get to the center because the machinery, the motor and all that, the stuff's 12 feet tall. How am I going to get the ring? Am I going to take the tape measure and go up over the stuff?
I love this puzzler already.
So he decides that getting the diameter of either circle is hopeless. So he figures, I'll cheat. The old man will never know. He measures a straight line from one edge of the carousel to the other edge.
Not going through the center.
Can't go through the center.
Yeah.
In other words, he's going to make what's called a chord of this big circle.
Yeah.
Okay. Any line that goes from one edge of the circle to the other... any straight line that isn't the diameter is a chord.
Okay? I'm with it. I'm with you, man.
And as luck would have it, the tape measure touches the inner circle, or in geometric terms, is tangent to the inner circle at one point.
Oh!
So Biff comes back and he says to the
That's
old,
all I got,
he
Dad.
He says, look, I couldn't do what you wanted me to do. I got this measurement, and it's 70 feet. The old man administers a swift dope slap. He said, how the heck are we going to use, we don't know, you don't know either diameter? He said, you didn't measure the inner? He said, no. You didn't measure the outer diameter? He says, no.
Yeah.
The other brother,
Skip skips in. Not
and
a problem.
Says, cut him some slack.
Yeah.
I think I can figure it out. Can he or can't he?
Of course he can.
Of course, otherwise we wouldn't have a puzzler this week. How does he do it? If you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can do an electronic funds transfer and email your answer on a $20 bill to us from cartalk.com.
Wow.
If you'd like to converse with us at this very moment, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, guys. This is Patrick calling from Pittsburgh, PA.
Patrick.
Patrick from Pittsburgh.
Yep, just moved here from Atlanta.
Atlanta to Pittsburgh.
Yes, to attend folk music school.
Really?
Really?
Yep. Yep.
There's a folk music school in Pittsburgh, PA?
There's a small place called Calliope. It's in one of the surrounding towns, and they teach everything from finger-picking 101 to harmonica to Appalachian harmony to songwriting. So,
and when you finish school, will you be joining the folk song army?
I'm hoping to. I'm hoping to.
Wow.
I'll be unencumbered by the employment process.
See, that, I never knew such a place existed. That's really good. I mean, this is a full-time, four-year, one-year, two-year, or whatever school.
No, it's not quite that formal. It's more eight-week sessions, and you can take as many sessions as you'd like.
Oh.
Depending upon how good you think you are or think you want to be.
Right.
How
many and it dispersed among the music lessons, like panhandling.
Yeah. Maybe you get your own paper cup when you leave. How many students are there at this place?
I'd have to add up all the classes.
I mean, is it hundreds?
There might just be hundreds. By that, I mean there might just be 200 or 300 or 400.
Yeah.
Well, I love it, actually. I think it's neat.
Well, when you're ready to go, it's called Calliope. Just
okay.
Just give us a call.
I'll be there.
Great.
And you'll bring your own tambourine. Okay. So what do you need us for?
Well, my car, which is a Ford Escort GT, 5-speed stick, by the way, it's about to spend its first winter north of the Mason-Dixon line.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure it's prepared. And being unencumbered by the employment process as I am, I don't have a lot of money. You know, I want to make sure I don't wind up having something go wrong because I haven't done any preventive maintenance that it hasn't needed.
Oh, yeah, I understand. Yeah. I understand.
Well, you're absolutely right because in the warm weather, as we say, everything works.
Right.
And some of the things that don't work, you may not find out about until it gets cold.
Right.
But some of them you can prepare for.
Like, okay.
I presume you have antifreeze in it, but I wouldn't really presume that.
Okay.
But you can easily go into a service station, if you can find one, and ask them to check to see how good it is.
Okay.
Because you want it to make you want to make sure in Pittsburgh that it's good down to 0 degrees Fahrenheit.
And the test takes about a minute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they suck out some of the coolant, and no matter what it says, that there are little balls that will float, you know, in this little device, and 4 balls is good for 25 below, 5 balls is good for 45 below. But no matter how many balls are floating, they'll tell you you need to have the system flushed anyway. So you can do that. And the other thing that's important is to make sure that your battery is up to snuff.
Okay.
And that your belt is tight enough, your alternator belt.
Okay. Now, I have accidentally killed the battery once very recently. And then I got a jump start from my landlord. And it seemed to be fully charged by the time I got to class.
Yeah, well, it would be in this weather, but you'll separate the men from the boys when it's 6 degrees out.
Okay.
So you need to have it really tested with a load tester.
Okay.
They'll put a machine on it, and they'll simulate trying to start the thing by imposing a load across the terminals.
Okay.
And they'll read the voltage, and if it goes down below 9 volts, you'll probably need to have the battery replaced. But at the very least, charged up and to make sure the charging system's working. And that's, other than that, Patrick, that's it.
Yeah. And you may discover that some of the other things that I said you may discover only when it does get cold is if you haven't had a tune-up for a long time, like if you've got plugs in there that have been in there for 90,000 miles, it's possible that it won't start because everything works when it's warm.
Right.
So it may work warm, and it won't work when it's cold. So you may find out that you need a tune-up if it doesn't start.
Okay.
You may find out, for example, that your master cylinder is no good on your brakes, and you wouldn't find that out down in Atlanta maybe forever.
Oh, okay.
Because the cold weather would cause that to make the brakes fail.
Okay.
And you should probably get snow tires.
Oh, all right. I've got, like, all-weather radials on there now.
Good enough.
You're good.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
No.
Just stay home. The biggest consideration is that you have no experience driving in the snow.
Well, I do have a little. My family's from this area, so I've traveled up here a lot, and I've gotten most of my snow driving experience in rental cars.
Good.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Good thinking, man.
Yeah, so
you musicians aren't as dumb as you look.
No.
You're all set, Patrick.
Hey, good luck with your first winter up here, man. You're going to love it.
Thank you very much.
We'll be looking
guys.
For you on the cover of Sing Out. Is that still published?
Yes, it is.
Sure.
Yes, it is.
Cool.
All right.
See you
great.
Later.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck, Patrick.
Bye bye.
Calliopes. Don't forget that. Calliopes.
Yeah, I got it.
In your next life, when you decide that you really want to learn to play the guitar.
I know. Well, I tried. 1-888-CARD.
Well, how does that go?
It doesn't matter if you put a couple extra syllables in any line. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jill from Missoula, Montana.
Hi, Jill.
Yeah,
hi.
Missoula.
Yeah.
So, Jill, what's up?
Well, first of all, I didn't know if this was too tasteless a topic to bring
not
up.
Not for us.
Is it flatulence?
I didn't think so, and I only thought of you two to ask. Truly, I really couldn't come up with anyone else.
See, I mean, it's almost hot. Okay.
I've been witnessing something more and more on my way to work before 8 a.m. every Monday morning. And it's starting to bother me.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm at the red light, and there are cars turning in front of me, one after another, on their way to work. And for some reason, there's some invisibility factor people seem to think exists while they're in their cars.
Yes.
And I've been witnessing, maybe you can guess, picking their noses.
Oh.
Way too much.
Jill, that's so tasteless.
No, are you sure they're not just scratching their noses?
No, it's bad. And it's upsetting because, you know, Monday, you ride to work, you're kind of in that state.
Were they up to, like, more than the first knuckle?
Pardon me?
Never mind.
But it's really kind of bothersome, you know, because I have to perform the rest of the day.
I know.
And it's kind of disgusting, so it puts me in that mood. And I thought, well, what about it, you guys?
So there's this steady
going on that I don't know.
There's
about?
This steady stream of left-hand turners in front of you,
yeah.
All of whom are picking.
Well, not every single one, but way
a lot,
too
yeah.
many.
Well, let's get to the important question. Yeah. Mostly men or women?
What do you think?
Men. Any
course.
Women? I've never seen a woman pick her nose.
I haven't either.
Well, you know, here's the deal.
What?
I mean, I've thought about this a lot.
You can't? I thought I was the only one.
I mean, I don't know why women don't pick their noses. I don't understand that. But men, it is absolutely necessary for men.
Well, I'll tell you why. And I will freely admit that I pick my nose.
But you say
and nice. So does Doug. He just raised his hand. And so did Jennifer. Has it been a dry summer in Montana?
Oh, it's been really hot.
Hot, right.
Yeah.
And dry. I mean, I don't think there's much.
Boy, nothing grows big boogers better than hot,
dry weather. Yeah, that's true.
No, wait a minute. This is all year long. It's not just summer. No,
well, the residual effects, you know.
The winter is even worse. It's drier. It's always. It's true that it's all the time.
But these same men aren't walking down the street doing it.
No, and here's why. You know why?
What?
Because they know that they shouldn't be doing it in public. And the only place that they're alone is in their cars.
But they're not alone.
Well, the thing
that's
is,
it. They
you
think they're alone.
You can't see what else they're even doing in their cars. I mean, but the car is kind of a semi-private place.
It is.
It's tantamount to being home and having the shades drawn.
It is.
Because you have, not only do you have the privacy or the insulation afforded by the windows and whatever, but you also have velocity. So people can't get a fix on you. They can't really say, he was picking his nose.
No, maybe
he wasn't. I really can't tell.
And even if they do, because it's not just that it's invisibility, it's anonymity.
It's anonymity.
I never forget a face. If I saw him again, I'd remember.
You need to start writing down license plate numbers. It's clear.
Right.
Jeez, this is an important social issue, obviously.
It is true, and I think I understand why men do it in the car, because there is this anonymity and this semi-privacy. But what I don't understand is why women don't have the need.
Because
to
they
do
don't
this.
Have nose hairs. Nose hairs are the problem.
You think that's
absolutely.
I don't think so.
And you know that someplace there is a PhD candidate writing a doctoral thesis about this.
Well, not yet,
but
someone will be on next
sure
week.
They will.
Why do men pick and women don't?
Well, women don't have nose hairs like men do. Women don't get those tree stumps growing out.
You think that's what it is, huh?
No, I mean, when a woman I could just see my wife going to the hairdresser saying, yeah, give me a little streak, Gigi, and trim my nose hairs. I mean, when I go to the barber shop, he's got the machine up there.
The weed whacker.
Oh, yeah, the thing with the titanium blades.
You're scaring me now.
It is a problem, and I know it's disgusting, but we guys are just gross.
Yeah, but, geez, it really affects some of us on the road.
No,
What if I get so distracted?
Well, I mean,
upset?
You're absolutely right. I mean, this is a question that we certainly are not capable of answering by ourselves, but I'm sure that we have a million listeners Six people,
yes,
at least. If you think that you have answers to these and our other questions.
We have plunged to new depths.
Please, I thought Cream Prince was a problem. I thought we had sunk to the depths when we were discussing Cream Prince. But I would like to hear the opinions of whoever has an opinion.
Right.
And the address, of course, is Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah.
Booger Division.
Just BD.
BD.
Car Talk Plaza BD.
BD. And that's it. And we'll get, I'm sure that by next week we will have answers. I mean,
I
I'm sure there's
know.
A professional out
Jill,
there.
Jill, I want you to know that if we're not on next year because of tastelessness.
It'll be you.
It'll be your fault.
It's not me, though. It's not me. I just brought it
I know.
Up.
We never would have discussed this. We're perfectly we're happy discussing carburetors and fuel injection and disc brake calipers. We didn't want to enter this. This is out of our line, so to speak.
This is why I hesitated to call.
Well, I can understand.
Well, get some plate numbers so we can embarrass some people.
Could I? I could.
You could. I know you will, too.
I will. If I could.
You call us with the numbers. We'll read them on the air. See you later.
Okay, thanks.
We could even check with the DMV and get their names.
We have definitely plunged to new depths.
Well,
it's happened again. You have squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisors, just back from the East Stromboli, Lemon Stoli, Guacamole, Fresh Aioli, Ravioli, Convongoli, Beef Rizzoli, No E. Coli, Supper with Poggioli, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our director of guaranteed repeat business is Lucinda Bolts. Our dessert menu planner is Eaton Flanagan. Our DNA researcher is Gene Hackman. Our director of fragile shipping is Paul Varize. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by our staff librarian, all been heard before. Our optometric firm is CF Eye Care. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group, as always, is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the shivering espresso sippers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And of course, don't drive like my brother.
And of course, don't drive like my brother.
Didn't I just say that? We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1443, download some classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our fabulous clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com are picks for the scariest cars of all time. Some that are scary to work on.
Like the Chevy Monza with the hidden bank of cylinders.
Yep, some that are scary to drive.
Like the old VW bus with your knees as bumpers.
And some that are scary to look at.
Like anything with my brother behind the wheel. That's the scariest cars of all time, all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though outhouse hole diggers suddenly feel good about their career choices whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.